I wanted to finish kind of where I started last week with the political thing, but in my heart, I know that that's just not where I can go this morning. So I'm going to shoot a little bit from the hip some things that I believe the Lord really wants to teach us this morning. In this battle that we're talking about, when you're talking about mental illness, when you're talking about physical sickness, when you're talking about all the different things that want to kill, steal, and destroy, rob your peace, rob your freedom, rob your liberty, you know, the addictions that are all around, just the stuff that is coming against the people of God, I believe that God wants us to come to a place where we know how to do battle, because it is a battle. There is a battle that is raging, and that battle is to bring you into bondage. It's designed to want to bring you into a place where you make decisions in your life that are going to be harmful in the long run. Where you make decisions in your life that are going to bring death rather than life. We have a choice to make. Choose this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. That means I'm going to choose life. And I'm not talking about abortion. I'm talking about decisions, posturing my mind and my thoughts and my heart in a way that aligns with the Spirit of God that is in me. So many believers have a disjoint. There's not an alignment between what's in their head and what's in their heart, what's in their spirit. We see so many Christians that are just, you know, we just have issues. We got stuff. I wish I could stand here and tell you that my whole life was totally in alignment like this. I'm still working some stuff out. Anybody else? All right. But so there's this battle that is going on, though, that it's doing everything it wants to do to keep my head out of alignment with my spirit. It's like a person that's walking around with a bad back that's got a jolt in it. It's got a tilt in it, and the vertebrae are pinching on the nerves, and it's shooting pain down your back. You wonder, how can I get healed? Well, I'll tell you, until that back gets straightened, and it comes into an alignment, into divine alignment, you're going to have pain in your back. Until your mind, your thoughts, are taken captive and submitted to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have pain in your walk. I'm just going to read some of the scriptures that the Lord was speaking to me this morning during worship. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. The devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. The devil is very real. He is an enemy of your soul. He knows what's written at the end of the book. And while we don't place a lot of emphasis on the devil, he is real. And he is really good at what he does. And he is really good at deception. And the alignment is we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. See, it's only the blood of the Lamb that I stand here righteous this morning. Amen. I have no righteousness of my own. I'll tell you what, I have failed enough to know the end of who I am apart from the grace and the mercy of God. Other than the blood of Jesus that makes me righteous, but the blood of Jesus does make me righteous, by the way. Amen. I am not some sinner saved by grace. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not by any work that I've done, not by anything I can do, not by anything I can achieve. There is no striving in this. Amen. The striving is to remain in faith in the blood of Jesus. Let us labor to enter into that rest, it says in Hebrews chapter 4. What's the rest? The rest is coming into the truth that there is nothing that I can do to earn this righteousness. That I stand righteous. And I'll tell you, there is a warfare against the saints of God that want to make a declaration that you're just still a sinner. There is no hope for you. You know, the old man, he still has a loud voice in your life. You know, it's generational. Your father had it, your mother had it, your daddy, everybody in your family has it. You're just going to have it. I say no. I say no. I say that the blood of Jesus gives me a new inheritance. It gives me a new identity, and it gives me a new inheritance. Amen. It is the blood of Jesus. I stand by the blood of Jesus. I'll tell you, when we talk about the name of Jesus is directly connected with the work of Jesus, which is the shedding of blood. Amen. And there is no other way that we can stand righteous, but you are righteous. I tell you, there's a false humility that goes around. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and I'm just this sinner, and I can't, shucks. No. I tell you, there is a standing. There is a rightful pride in the blood of Jesus. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God to salvation, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. There is no shame in the blood of Jesus. There is a spirit that is in our land right now of intellectualism. It's humanistic intellectualism that wants to look down its long skinny nose at you and shake its bony finger at you and say, how foolish can you be to think that Jesus died and rose again? It is a lie. I stand, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. There is nothing else that I have confidence in for my righteousness. Nothing. It's not my position as a pastor. It's not that I've done some good things. There is nothing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. We overcome. What are we overcoming? The accusations of the wicked one. I tell you, the enemy has no power but what you give him through your belief system. His lies are powerless until you believe them. We can empower his word the same way we can empower the Father's word, through faith. That's a weighty thought. If you understand that not every thought that comes your ways are your thoughts. Amen. Understand that you have an enemy that can whisper lies into you. You know, you have... I feel sorry for gals in America. We've so sexualized who you are. And women are always battling this thing. Well, I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too tall. I'm too short. And it's all about the appearance, because we as a culture have made such a big deal about the outward appearance. This is just one example where the enemy wants to whisper to you always that you're just not good enough. You don't look good enough. And that your value is in how you look. This isn't an area that our kids are battling with. I remember looking in the mirror and thinking, guy used to call me Ruby Lips because I have big lips, Ruby Lips. I thought, yeah, that sure is ugly. I'm going to grow a mustache and beard, and I'll never shave it off. And I have it. A nose, My brother, I had a kid brother, had a pretty big nose. He used to get down behind couches like this, and he'd kind of go so just his nose was showing, and he'd be humming the Jaws theme. And did that really affect him? I don't know. My brother died of alcoholism at the age of 48. Who knows what he endured? Who knows the teasing? Who knows the stuff that he might have driven him, what might have driven him to alcoholism? I don't really know. I've got some ideas. All I know is I lost a brother at the age of 48 because he didn't know how to stand in the blood. He chose a bottle, and he died of sclerosis of the liver. Cirrhosis, not sclerosis. What is it?
Close enough.
whatever. You get it. You know what I mean. I'm not a doctor either. So, but he died. How many accusations had he had in his life that the only way he, the only escape that he could find is through numbing the pain? There's a lot of false ways to try to battle the voices of the wicked one. But I tell you what, number one, identify it. It's not always your thought. The enemy seeds thoughts. Now, what I don't get about this is for every devil there's two angels. And for every Satan there's Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father. How can we listen to the liar? Isn't there just as much truth being filtered through our minds of who you are, how much you're loved, how much you're valued? There is a training your mind to hear the voice of the Father, to hear the voice of the kingdom rather than the voice of wickedness. There is a training, a disciplining of your mind. It begins with, what do you give yourself to? I don't watch a lot of news. I don't watch a lot of movies. I don't watch a lot of any of that stuff anymore. Even if it's not, you know, what we used to call dirty. Some of it is just projecting mindsets that are not godly. They're in direct opposition to what my God tells me. They're in direct opposition of what I understand the kingdom of God to say and what the heart of the Father is. They're in direct opposition to wisdom. How often had we seen movies just belittling the father figure? And it wasn't that they were dirty, there wasn't cussing, there wasn't swearing. In fact, it was funny. Except that it was belittling the institution of marriage that God had ordained and that God valued. The posture of a man, a godly man, who knows how to rule and run his household in conjunction with his wife. So they weren't necessarily bad things, but though all the stuff that you put in, is it undoing what you know to be the revealed word of God? Or is it something that has a little gray area? And well, it's okay if I give myself to that little gray area. I mean, there's a line here. Do you know we're legalistic about sin? Christians, you know we're legalistic about sin? Well, there's a line there. On this side of the line is the really bad stuff. On this side of the line is, well, you know, I can reason it and I can compromise and I don't have to go over. I can get up to the line. I tell you, that's legalism. And it's the thing that's in your heart. It's the thing that's in your heart that makes it sin or not. So I can be on the other side of the line while staying on this side of the line because my heart's on that side of the line. Make sense? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The word reveals the heart. The word reveals the heart. And, you know, sometimes we need to dig really deep to get the real word of the Lord. Sometimes our heads are so filled with what other people's opinions are about us, or even our own lousy self-opinion, that we don't know what the word says about us. And the word of our testimony is our story. I love testimonies this morning because it's people's stories. It's the encounters that they have had with a real and a living God. See, my wife and I have a testimony that nobody can steal from us. We've got 6 children to prove it. She was healed and we were able to have children. I've got testimonies of being healed in my back and in my leg and in my knee. And I tell you, that stuff tries to come back, but I come back to the testimony. No, I have been healed. You try to come back. The Lord spoke to my heart one day and he said, Dave, you know, remember my knee. I had a situation. Ken prayed for it, got 75%. Lord said, watch and see what I do. Watch, or just pay attention is what he said, the exact words. Pay attention. I was right here. Ken was praying for me. I said, oh, we're done praying. Came over here right where you're at. And I was pondering. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Over the next 5 weeks, that pain kept trying to come back. And I remember saying, wait a minute. I know what happened over here. I know that I got 75%. And okay, the 25%, I didn't get that. But I got the 75%. And doggone it, you're not taking that away from me. And I had to stand on that. I'd sit on the toilet blessing my knees. I did. I spoke the testimony and the word over my knee. And it was like 5-6 weeks later, a little gal who was in youth group who didn't know anything about any of this, but our youth leaders had taught them about words of knowledge. And she came up to me. It was one of those really fun services. People were getting healed and all this stuff. And she's, Dave, I got one of them things, what do you call them, where you know that there's something wrong with somebody? I said, oh, a word of knowledge. And she says, yeah, one of them. So here, you know, that's dangerous. Hand the microphone to a teenager who doesn't know all the rules of religion. And she took the microphone. And she said, well, there's somebody here that has a sore left knee, and God wants to heal you. I said, well, that's me. And there was four others, and I think three of us, I got the other 25% of my healing on that day. See, that's the word of my testimony. You don't know how many times I have had to remind myself and my body of the word of that testimony. You don't know how often I still have to remind. I got healed in my back. See, there's a difference between thinking you got healed and knowing when it manifested. And I tell you, when you're in that time of waiting, I don't lie about it. I don't lie about it. I don't, in the name of Jesus, call something healed when it's still manifesting pain. I am healed before the foundation of the earth. Yes, I agree. But right now, there's pain. Doggone it. And it's hurting me from doing things. But when Paul Rapley was here, went over there, and I got prayed for, and I was set free. I mean, my back, no pain. No pain. And that went for quite a while. I'm testifying. I got pain. You know what hinders people from testifying a lot of times? What if it comes back? What if? It's just temporary relief. I'll tell you, breaking through that fear, taking a stand and saying, no, I was healed. I've had that pain try to come back. I'm not going to lie to you. There are times where I have felt that pain to come back, but I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I have been healed. I know when it happened. I know who laid hands on me. They weren't necessarily the evangelist. Paul Rapley didn't lay hands on me. Just some people, good folk in the house. They really looked kind of terrified about doing all this. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Your testimony is important. What God has done in your life is no little thing. Well, I don't have a great testimony. I didn't, like Pastor Dave, wasn't in drugs, and I wasn't in alcohol, and I wasn't doing all the stuff that he was doing, and I just don't have a testimony. If you don't have those testimonies, I'll tell you what, you've got the greatest testimony of all. Treasure your testimony. If you were brought up in a Christian family where they modeled real faith, real Christianity, real love, man, rejoice in that. Because if you don't call that a testimony, I tell you what, there are those just outside of your righteousness that are waiting to pull you out, waiting you to take you down a road so that you can get a testimony. You don't need that testimony. You don't need that testimony. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. The third thing in that is one that we don't like to talk about. And they love not their lives unto death. Why do you have to bring that in? Now it's costing me something. Oh, but Dave, there's no striving in love. Don't you know that salvation is free? There's no salvation is free, but it'll cost you your life. There is a price that you pay to walk in righteousness. There is a price that you pay to walk in holiness. There is a price, and it's called your life. You know, when we talk about baptism, this thing about going into the waters of baptism, when it's done with understanding of what's going on there, what's actually happening is you are being crucified with Christ. Your old man is dying. There is a statement that is being made when you go into the waters of baptism that I am no longer my own. My life does not belong to me. I am a dead man. And I can't come to life until I give. Unless you lose this life, you cannot gain real life. Amen. Jesus said that. To the measure that we can die is the measure to which we can really live. I wish this wasn't in the book, because this cost me something. It cost me something. It goes against my will at times. It goes against the lust for pleasure. It goes against the lust for recognition. It goes against everything that the old arrogant man that is supposed to be dead. I don't know how he still has such a darn loud voice, but he's dead. So part of the word of my testimony when I get that is, you're dead. Shut up. Amen. Shut up. Who are you to speak back to me? And I talk to him. Not nicely. I just tell him to shut up. I don't necromance with the idiot. The idiot, Dave. I don't necromance. But nevertheless, when that voice wants to come, I tell you, that is not my voice. I have had the heart of stone removed from me, and God has put in a heart of flesh. God has placed his desires, his passions, his wills, his righteousness is now who I really am. Right. See, part of my testimony is I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't care what it looks like out on the outside. I don't care how many times I've failed, how many times I've blown it. Yes, I need to take ownership and repent. I need to get back up on my horse and ride. But I tell you, the core foundation of who I am is that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've quit praying, oh, search me and try me, Lord. See if there's any wicked way in me. Oh, search. I don't want to know the wicked ways. I want to know the righteousness, what God has accomplished. I want to know what God has done in my life. Sometimes that's more obscure than the wicked ways. You're where you focus on is what you're going to become. I refuse to focus on my failures. Do I have to acknowledge them, repent? Yes, but that's, you know, you repent different as a son than you do as a sinner. It comes from a different place. It comes from a place of authority. It comes from a place of a finished work. And so I repent, but I don't spend a lot of time with it. I spend more time focusing on Jesus, what you have done. Your great deliverance, the blood. Oh, the blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you that you have given me a testimony. Thank you that your testimony over me is that you are, Dave, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Dave, my testimony over you is come boldly before my throne of grace. Obtain mercy. Find help in your time when you need it worst. Find mercy. Find hope, help in your time of need. The voices will drive you insane. You know how, you know why that is? Because the one who is the author of those voices is insane. He's really smart. He is really cunning. He's really good at what he does with deception, but he's insane. He lives in insanity. Think of the chaos that he tries to bring to your life and to our nation. Think of the chaos he tries to bring on humankind. Think of the stuff that he is authoring. It's insanity. It's a very real battle. God has given us a prescription on how to fight it. I'm trying to find a scripture. Hang on a second. I always get it mixed up. Taking every thought captive. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Not that one. 2 Corinthians 10:4. I always think it's 4:10. I know kind of the neighborhood. I don't always get the address right. For we do not walk in the flesh, and we don't war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. In God. Step outside of God into your natural mind, into the carnal mind, and you're not going to win a war. They're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down his strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. It's an interesting scripture. The warfare that is coming against us will never be won by thinking it through. The warfare that is coming against us will never be won by a great intellectual argument.
That's right.
Humanistic reasoning about sin will never do it. Oh, don't worry about that. It'll be taken care of. Oh, don't worry about those thoughts. You know, everybody has thoughts. You know, those things might be true. They might be factual, but they're not truth. The truth is that God, his spirit within me, rules my mind and my thoughts. And it's up to me, by the will of my own person, my character, to say, I will submit and bring my thoughts into alignment and into the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, you have to determine to do this. The inertia of life will not do this for you. Just the fact that you've been a Christian for 40 years is not a guaranteed recipe for being able to take captive every thought and submitting it and bringing it into obedience. This is spiritual warfare. It is of a spiritual nature. I know this, the spirit realm has more substance than what you can see, taste, touch, and feel. How do I know that? Because God is spirit. And the creation can never have more substance than the creator. Right?
Amen.
So there's a spiritual reality. We're called to live from a spiritual realm. We are spirits that have souls and bodies. And the soul is kind of the bridge between the spirit and the body. You know, what we see, taste, touch, and feel is kind of given its marching orders by our mind, our hope, our hearts, our will, our emotions. I believe our heart is the sum total of all of the experiences that you've had in life. All the receptors of your inner man, your soul, that you've received through life. It might be from a teacher in the fourth grade. It might be from a father that abused you. It might be from a mother. It might be from a friend. It might be just through failure. And those receptors are stored in your soul. They're there. They affect you. They affect how you love. They affect how you don't love. They affect the way you can make decisions of righteousness and where you don't make decisions of righteousness. You are a spiritual being. One of the ways that you're created in God's image is that you are spiritual. This is really important to understand this stuff. As a spirit being, you will live forever. I don't know how this is going to work, but when you think of people that have died, people that have been buried at sea, for instance, eaten up by fish, dispersed throughout the ocean waves, and yet somehow at the final at the resurrection of the deceased, the sea is going to give up their dead. And somehow this body is going to be reunited. It's going to be resurrected. Some for eternal damnation and some to eternal life. That's a weighty, weighty thought. Somehow, well, that's impossible. How can all those molecules come back together? God created man from dust. He created the universes with a word. I know that he can call every particle of DNA of every human being that has ever walked on the face of the planet and say, arise, and it's going to arise. We are spirit, soul, and body. And the battle is in the soul. The battle is in the mind. You know, I don't believe Satan can have anything in my spirit. I just don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that that which was dead died and was resurrected by the same glory that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Romans chapter 6. That same glory says that he will never die. And if that glory that raised Jesus from the dead, that says he'll never die, then that same glory that Paul says that raised me from the dead, says I will never die, I'm never going to die. Amen. That's good news. Amen. That's really good news.
Yes, it is. Yes.
You are eternally secure in the love of the Father.
Amen.
But I tell you, in this battle in the meantime, this battle, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. You don't love this life that you grasp onto it and hold on to it. You don't love it till you die. You receive resurrected life. And I now live from resurrected life. But I tell you, the mind still has to catch up with what's happened in my spirit. I mean, the spirit knows things. I love the scripture. I've been actually speaking this quite a bit lately, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to paraphrase. I'm not going to paraphrase it. I'm going to read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is really cool. For me, this is really, really cool. Verse 9, it says, but as it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. You know, so many people just stop there. I read that. That just means I can't know the heart of God. That means God is just a mystery to me. I can't know the things that he has for me. I'm just kind of I'm kind of disjointed from eternal realities. Because it says it right there. And he's quoting an Old Testament scripture. But Paul goes on to say, but God has revealed them to us. He's revealed what? The things that are freely given to us. He's revealed them to us through his Spirit. Through his Spirit? For the Spirit searches all the things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of that man that is in him? Your spirit knows you perfectly. Your spirit doesn't have amnesia like your soul does. Your spirit knows the details of your life. Think of this. My spirit's growing. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God's Spirit knows everything about the mind of God. Man's spirit, when it's born again, even when it's not born again, knows everything about man. When through the born-again experience, God's Spirit and our spirit commingle, come together, all of a sudden I have access to the wisdom of the ages. The only thing that keeps it back is this thing. Believing. And that's the battle that we're in. It's to bring our minds into subjection with my spirit that is perfected. If my spirit wasn't perfected, God and my spirit couldn't commingle. It says that his seed, and the word there means sperm, his seed is in you. His seed has impregnated the womb of my spirit. And his life grows in me, in you. Maybe that's graphic. I think it's reality. Everything in the natural is just representative of something in the spiritual. Life. Life. Eternal life is growing in you. And there is a grace that comes through this eternal life that allows us to say yes to some things and to say no to some things. There is a grace that comes with this eternal life that causes our hearts to believe the unbelievable. To be able to live from a different world than what we're living in. Contained in that life is this crazy, radical, unreasonable love of God that was being lavished upon us this morning. Amen. What manner of love is this that the Father has bestowed upon the children of God, that they would be called the sons of God? Therefore, the world doesn't know you because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know this, that everybody that has this hope in them purifies himself even as he is pure. 1 John chapter 3, 1 through something. Truth. What kind of love is this? I don't deserve the love that God poured out on us this morning. I'll tell you where my mind was at. I was wrestling with some things. Some words are spoken over in the prayer room that really helped. But I tell you, I was wrestling with some things. And I needed, I don't know, I'm a pastor, I'm supposed to run this thing. I don't have needs. Baloney. I needed the impartation of the love of the Father in my life this morning. Hallelujah. Did you receive it? It's the basis of everything that we believe. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear torments. Fear will take, and that's the root of everything that comes against you. If you have fear, well, maybe I really do have too big of a nose. I'll tell you, that fear is going to open a door. Maybe I just do have a generational curse on my life. That fear is going to open a door. I tell you, you need to know and be perfected in the love of the Father. You need to know the extent to which he went through to make you a son and to make you a daughter. You need to know the power that is in the blood of Jesus to transform somebody like me who had no consciousness of godliness and transform me into 40 years of walking in a way that I've had to die to some things But all the life that I have received in exchange cannot compare with what I've given up. What have I given up? I'm like, really? Everything that's precious to me was given to me by God. My wife, my children, my church, my brothers, my sisters. These are the things that mean a lot to me. My house, God gave me the house, but I appreciate it. I love my house. I love living where we live. We got a lot of memories in that house. But at the end of the day, my house doesn't mean a lot. My car that I drive doesn't mean a lot, except that it was a blessing from God. God blessed us with a car. It was really cool. And I'm grateful for that. But the stuff of life is so insignificant to the real blessings and the real favor that's on my life that is in Christ Jesus. Let's stand together. Boy, that was better than preaching about the politics, wasn't it? We're going to have prayer teams up here. Throughout this service, the Holy Spirit has been moving on just, you know, one of the things that we pray all the time is that Holy Spirit move among us, have your way. You know, individuals, God is so good. And he speaks to people so individually and so uniquely because you're unique. And you're uniquely loved by God. We have prayer teams up here that are just sensitive to what God wants to speak, what God wants to say. If you, through this service, just have had something that has really kind of, you know, triggered something inside that you just need some help. You just need some pity to walk through it with you. You might need somebody to just laugh with you. You know how much healing there is in laughter? How much deliverance there can be in laughter? I want to encourage you, if you need prayer, people just to stand with you, you might be going through a tough time. We have prayer teams up here that will bless you. We want to honor the altar area. So we ask, you know, just watch your kids so they're not running through and making noise. People are really dealing with some things with God in this time. And we want to honor that. I love seeing people praying together. Just pockets of believers ministering to believers. I believe that the body can minister to the body because of relationship, better than I can minister to the body because of position. So we just want to bless you in your fellowship with one another. We have coffee out in the lobby. You can even receive healing over a cup of coffee. You know that? I have. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you. Daddy, I want to thank you. Our hope is in you. Our hope is in your strong arm of deliverance and freedom and liberty. Father, I pray that you administer these truths deeply to our hearts, God. It's not enough just to know about them. Father, I pray for an encounter with these truths, an encounter with the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, an encounter of what it is to not love our lives to death. Father, I pray for the reality of Holy Spirit bringing these things to our remembrance in a way that breaks long-time mindsets, thoughts that need to be kept taken captive. Holy Spirit, I trust you. I trust you with this body of believers, and I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.